Please welcome Kathleen Vaynow.
I want to thank the folks from Black River Falls that are here. You probably see them wandering around in orange t-shirts. And my story kind of starts with where I saw them last, which was on Thursday night. We had this "We Did It" rally in Black River Falls. And the two co-chairs got up and said a little bit about what it felt to be here in Madison and to carry the box. And you've heard, or maybe some of you actually are, one of the legendary box carriers. You were. Raise your hand if you were a legendary box carrier. Give those folks a round of applause. Well, see if I honor what that legendary box carrier role was. And this I have to give credit to Sheila and Danielson in Black River Falls. She shared with us. She said she felt this tremendous responsibility when she carried the box from the U-Haul truck up to the Government Accountability Board. And she said, when I picked up that box, it was very, very heavy. And think about it. It contained all of the despair over how lives had been changed because of the loss of a job, because of the loss of health insurance, because of the loss of a home, because of the loss of a long-term relationship, because of the loss of their people's very security. But she said, as I walked, I realized those signatures meant so much more. They represented people's hopes, people's dreams, people's dedication, and most importantly, they represented people taking back their power. Yes. Yeah. 1 million of us taking back our power. And she said, as I climbed the stairs to the GAB, the box was as light as a feather. And the world saw the fruits of our labor when those petitions were delivered. And I would think the man that John Nichols invoked and Ed Garvey represents, I would think the man that first brought that idea of a recall in the Constitution before the legislature in 1905, Governor Bob La Follette, would indeed be very proud of what we accomplished, wouldn't you say? Now, Bob La Follette knew that road to reform was very long and very torturous. Remember, it took him 10 long years to be able to become governor, to take on fighting the trusts, which we kind of know as the really, really big corporations today. He only served as governor for 6 years, but he ushered in a new beginning that became our Wisconsin. He laid that groundwork that brought us, made Wisconsin the birthplace of progressive politics and all of the progressive ideas that we know and love. And you know them all, but the first kindergarten, and of course, as Senator Risser likes to remind me, when he was a young lad, the beginning of public employee collective bargaining. That is our progressive history. And I believe Wisconsin will not be the death of workers' rights. Instead, it will be the rebirth of democracy in this nation. Because democracy is not dead. It is alive and well in Wisconsin. And we will demonstrate, and we already have begun to demonstrate, what Governor La Follette used to say over and over again. The cure for the ills of democracy is more democracy. Today, I believe Wisconsin is at a crossroads. We can go down the path of Scott Walker, down the path of deceit and destruction, down the path of corruption and cronyism, of the fraying of the social safety net, down the path of destroying our public structures like public education, and aftermath of 6 straight months of job loss, you all heard about that, that the governors, maybe you'd heard my comments after the state of the state, the governor took credit for all of these jobs he's created. Well, did you know that in our neighboring states, they've done a better job creating jobs for Wisconsin workers, get this, Wisconsin workers, than Governor Walker. In fact, 85% of the jobs that have been created in the last year from December to December in Wisconsin, 85% of them have been people in Wisconsin working outside of the state to get a job. In fact, the governors in our surrounding states are 6 times more likely to create jobs for Wisconsinites than our own governor. So please, ladies and gentlemen, let us give a big thank you to the governors of our surrounding states for employing the people in Wisconsin. Now, we can continue down that path of division and deceit and economic stagnation and cronyism and corruption, or we can choose a better way. With leaders who put relentless pursuit of the common good above all. Let me repeat that because it's such an odd phrase for a politician to say. With leaders who put relentless pursuit of the common good above all. We do need a new beginning in Wisconsin politics and government. We must work together to heal those divisions among us, to respect each other despite our differences, and as we debate our differences. We absolutely must stop pitting business and labor against each other. We must stop pitting the private sector and the public sector against each other. The public sector can't exist without the private sector. The private sector can't exist without the public sector. We are all in this together, and all of us are suffering. And we need everyone's best efforts together to build those kind of communities that we really do want to live in and play in and raise a family and run a business. And we need everybody's best efforts together to make those communities that we know and love and want to continue. That's why I believe Wisconsin does need a fresh start. We need a whole new way of doing government. We need new leaders, and we need to lift up the voices of the people. And as we just heard, we need a governor who is willing to be the servant of the people and serve the will of the people. As is written on the wall, on the ceiling, in the governor's conference room, the will of the people is the law of the land. We need a governor who will govern with self-restraint, something you don't hear about much in Wisconsin. We need a governor who will be truthful about her intentions. We need a governor who respects Wisconsin's traditions of good government, of openness, of full participation with everyone at the table, of following the rules. Now, Bob La Follette knew the road to reform was not going to be easy. And right now, we face, as you heard this morning, Mike McCabe told you, we face an opposition that is going to be the most well-funded in Wisconsin's history. Money buys slick brochures. Money buys baseless lies. Money buys those nasty, nasty ads. And money buys the vote of the uninformed. But, as I just told the television station, we have something that is proving to be far more powerful than money. We have the power of the people. And just like the Wisconsin 14, we must all muster that courage and determination to take a bold step to help open the eyes of our brothers and sisters to what is happening to our great state. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very important task ahead of us. We must inform, we must educate, and we must motivate. Wisconsin is ground zero. The fight in Wisconsin is for all of the marbles, and our opponents are playing for keeps. We must take back our power. And remember, no one gives you power. You must take it. And when we take back our power, we not only take it back for ourselves, we take it back for our children, for our grandchildren, for our friends and family and neighbors that are struggling just to get by, for our communities that really do want to work together. And we have the courage to do this, and we have the determination to do this. And I believe we will do this one neighborhood at a time, starting right here in Madison. Thank you very much.
I have the pleasure of introducing someone I worked with when she was a public intervener for the state of Wisconsin, who set standards for how government should operate to protect the environment, and is a person that is of unquestioned integrity. Please welcome Kathleen Falk.
It is great to be here in a room full of friends. Ruth, John, you make us proud when we see you on the national stage representing us revolutionaries here. Thank you for all you are doing. We are so honored and grateful. Ed, for not only starting the People's Legislature and fighting Bob, but he is not going to give up. He is not going to rest until we have won. So join me, please, in thanking them for all they have done nationally in the state. You know, I'm running for governor because, like you and 1 million of us strong, I can't sit by and let Governor Scott Walker take our state to the bottom. I can't sit back and watch Scott Walker tear our state apart, where family member doesn't talk to family member, neighbor to neighbor. I won't let stand by and watch Scott Walker pit union worker against non-union worker. I will not stand back and let Scott Walker pit big tax breaks for corporations against funding for schools and health care. I will not sit back and watch Scott Walker pit billionaires from Texas against kids and families in Wisconsin. I can't sit back and watch Scott Walker take our state for the last 6 months in a row with job losses month after month, the worst in the nation. Under Scott Walker's agenda, he hasn't made us better, he has made us worse. I cannot sit back. You know, maybe Scott Walker is running to be the governor of Texas, Missouri, New York, but it isn't us in Wisconsin he's fighting for. You know, on the very same day that a million people, having spent 2 months in the cold, in the snow, in the wind, missing Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners with their families, come to Madison and file those million signatures, on that very same day, we do that historic, inspiring, brave action. Where's Governor Walker? New York, at a fundraiser hosted by the former head of AIG, who, last I recall, all of us taxpayers bailed out. He's not fighting for us. He's not on our side. You know, if you look back at this year, who could have foreseen what would happen to our state? Who could have foreseen? It started very in the beginning in January when he first did those big tax breaks that are going to total $2 billion over the next decade. And how did he fund that? With the biggest cuts in education in our state's history. With a $500 million cut to Medicare, which one out of five of us need. But throwing 60,000 people, many of them women and kids, off of their health care. That's where he started. But then he told us if we stuck with him, if we took the medicine of his very extreme far-right agenda that we'd be better at the end. And here we are, 13 months later, and what do we have to show for it? Bigger class sizes, fewer teachers, people without the health care they need, and 6 straight months of job losses. Wrong choices and assaulting every value we care about, whether it's the environment and rolling back the environmental laws that the Republicans and Scott Walker are doing, whether it's the anti-voting rights legislation they are passing, whether it's their hostility to women and our right to choose. That list is long. But on every value we hold dear in our state, he has made the wrong choices. And on top of this, if that couldn't be bad enough, we have seen now this cloud over the last month of indictments, of felony charges, of arrest for those top aides closest to him. His top aides being accused of stealing money from, of all people, kids and families of veterans. Or, most recently last week, his top aides that are just in an offices away from him in his county executive office, a shouting distance, a voice distance from him, who are accused of spending about half of their time on county dime, on taxpayer dime, doing political campaigning work to increase his political power. In Wisconsin, in this year, in this day and age, after all we have went through with the caucus scandals, this is not a governor who's fighting for us. We know there is a better way. We've seen a better way. And I know from all my friends and faces here in this room, we have all been fighting our lives for a better way. You know, I was born in Milwaukee. I'm the granddaughter of a bus driver. Later on, we moved out to Waukesha, very rural Waukesha, where when I was 8 years old, and this, of course, is in 1959, when I was 8 years old, I started a conservation club. That's not what kids did back then, let alone girls. But I started a conservation club because that's what I cared about, protecting the outdoors. And so then when I became of age, like all of you, it was Watergate and the Vietnam War and the very first Earth Day and civil rights for women, for people of color. And you remember what was happening in our country. It was exploding. And like you, I loved my country and was angry about the decisions it made. So I wanted to do something about it. I wanted to change the world. What I did then was go to law school. I only knew one lawyer, a girlfriend's dad. But I knew that's where you can get the tools to change the world. Got out of law school here, but while in law school, I volunteered for a brand new group then called Wisconsin's Environmental Decade. And you'll remember why we named ourselves that. Because we thought it would just take a decade to clean things up. Mistake number one. But there I was, then graduating from law school when the environmental laws were just beginning, and arguing cases in the state Supreme Court 3 months out of law school, taking on those big, powerful interests. I loved doing it. And I got to help citizens all across the state protect the corners of the world that we love the most. Then I became one of your two public interveners, and for the next 12 years, I helped citizens in every corner of the state. And you'll remember I won a few too many times, because then what Governor Thompson had to do is axe the public intervener office. And that's when citizens in Dane County said, Falk, you got to run for county executive. And I said, I'm the outsider shaking up the system. But you knew that what you wanted me to do is to protect our natural resources, our lakes, our 2,500 farms. And I appreciated that, but the other reason I ran is because, as many of you know, I'm the mom of this fabulous 31-year-old son. And unlike him, we live in a neighborhood where kids had nothing. And I, year after year of having kids live with us and having nothing and being homeless, I wanted to do something to move a sea of kids out of poverty. And that's why I ran for county executive. And then you elected me the first woman, but you kept reelecting me. So I served the historic length of Dane County executive, the second longest serving county executive in the state. And under that, what we did together was we moved a progressive agenda year after year after year. And we did it the right way, by talking to people, by listening to people, by bringing people together. So we've got the strongest, only, or best environmental laws in the nation and the state on a whole barometer. We've got a reformed criminal justice system that today, despite the fact there are 100,000 more citizens in this county than there were 15 years ago, our jail population is lower because we reformed a criminal justice system by doing it work right and working with people. We created programs that move families up the ladder and out of poverty by helping them get a job and keeping it. We did innovative things that people had never seen before, like building manure digesters that keep our lakes clean, that let our dairy herds grow, that produce green energy and green-paying jobs, and it's the first, and I hope it's one of many in this state. That's the kind of progressive agenda you can move when you bring people together, and I know how to balance a budget and do it year in and year out, and didn't do it on the backs of 2,500 county employees. Did it by working with them. And I am so proud of the fact that 3 years in a row, they came to the table and they agreed to concessions that saved taxpayers $10 million. I am proud of them. They stayed on their jobs. They're doing the hard work of deputies and snowplow drivers and social workers that go into dangerous homes. They're out there working for you. That's how you get things done. In this day and age, when we know the solutions to problems are working together, are being innovative, are trying new things, and when they say you can't do it, we say, yes, we can. That's the kind of governor I will be. Now, we are out here to win this election. We have no time to lose or waste while Governor Walker continues his far-right extreme agenda. We've done this first really hard, historic, inspiring task of getting a million signatures, and now we've got to go the next. We've now got to redouble our efforts and work as hard as we possibly can over the next few months, and the Republicans are going to throw everything at us because that's what they do. They're going to try to delay, right? They're going to think we're going to get tired. When we started the recall, they said, oh, this will never get off the ground. It's summer and people will go on vacation. Did we prove them wrong?
Yes.
Then they said, oh, well, they'll never get 540,000 signatures. Just think of that. Did we prove them wrong? And then when we stunned them with a million signatures, they took a different tack. They ran off to courts. And they ran out of state to collect a whole lot of money. But is that going to daunt us? No. The values we all grew up with, that I learned early and I know all you did, was once you've lost somebody's trust, there is no amount of money that buys it back. So he can raise as much money as he could possibly spend, but he has lost the trust of Wisconsin citizens, and that's why I know we'll win. They're already throwing everything at us. They're saying a Dane County liberal can't win. Well, has anyone heard of Russ Feingold, our friend?
Yes.
They're saying a Dane County liberal can't win because what they're afraid of is a Dane County liberal can win. 6 years ago, I got 1,056,000 votes. That's 50,000 more votes than our Democratic candidate for governor last year. We know we elect Dane County liberals statewide in this state. People are tired of politics as usual. You've heard me say this my whole life. I don't like politics. But I learned early on that if we want to change the world, then this is where we need to be. And that's why you're here, and that's why you've been doing it your whole lives. I don't think anybody in this room likes politics. I sure don't like politics as usual. And I've been spending my life changing that. We now have this historic challenge before us. He had his moment 13 months ago. This is our moment. We know we will take back our government, one of transparency, of fairness. We will restore and undo the harm he has done to our state. And we will keep fighting until we do. Are you ready? Let's go get them. Let's renew our commitment today to join forces so that we take back our state. The people's legislature is going to need to meet again next year and the year after and the year after, because we know that there is no one moment when our work is done. And I have spent my whole life fighting. I am eager to go to bat for you. I will work as hard as I possibly can, as I have over this last year. And as I have told people from one end of the state to the other, as we were gathering those signatures, and they worried about whether they were alone in Ashland or whether they were alone on the south side of Milwaukee in a Latino community or whether they were alone in Oshkosh, what I reminded and showed them and told them was stories that there are people all over the state just like us. Whether it was the young Latino in Milwaukee who's in college and said, I'm worried I'm not going to get through college because of the tuition increases and the cuts in aid. Or the young man in Brule on the other end of the state who said, I want to be a teacher. And I'm at UW-Superior. And 14 of my classmates that wanted to be teachers have dropped out. We are united here in what we care about in Wisconsin. We have always watched each other's back. And I'm going to end with a story that reminds me most of that. When I was your public intervener fighting the expansion of the South Beltline, I was getting beat up bad. And I had just become the public intervener. And at the same time that I had just become the public intervener, this man to my left, who you know, had just become the deputy attorney general. Now, frequently the attorney general and the deputy attorney general over time, sometimes he really didn't want to know what the public intervener is doing. But this deputy attorney general not only wanted to know what we were doing, but was really proud of what we were doing. So it was one night, it was darn cold, and there was going to be a meeting where a whole bunch of folks were going to beat me up. And I remember telling him, because he was my boss, that that was what was going to happen. And so that he would be forewarned, and when he got those phone calls, he would know it had happened. And instead of that, he said, well, I think I ought to come with you. Somebody ought to watch your back. That's what this room has been doing their whole lives for us, for each other, and for the 5.5 million people that couldn't come here today. That's why I know we will win, because we're watching each other's backs, and Walker can spend $50 million, but it will not buy back the trust of 5 million citizens. Thanks for all you're doing. Let's go get them. Mm-hmm.